Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Zac Efron, and you're listening to The Stupid Cancer Show.
I hate you both. I've hated you ever since I can remember. I hate you, and I wish you both had cancer.
Cancer?
Yes, in the head.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore. Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
Are you telling me you built a time machine? Out of a DeLorean?
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Because he has a lot of chutzpah.
Hello there, children!
Hey, kids!
People seem to like me because I am polite and I'm rarely late.
And now, the hosts of the Stupid Cancer Show, Lisa Bernhard and Matthew Zachary.
Woohoo!
Monday, September 24th, and welcome to the Stupid Cancer Show, the voice of young adult cancer. My name is Matthew Zachary, and I am a 16-year survivor of pediatric brain cancer.
And I'm Lisa Bernhard, and I am a, yes, 17-year young adult breast cancer survivor, and we're your hosts for the Stupid Cancer Show.
It's not okay.
It's not okay.
That's... Right, the show's ruined.
Sorry.
It's not okay that 72,000 young adults are diagnosed with cancer each and every year. So, got cancer? Under 40? Sucks, huh? Time to get busy leaving, folks, because the Stupid Cancer Show is changing the world one chemo infusion at a time.
Tonight's show, Stupid Thyroid Cancer. Joining us, our good friend Joanna Isbell. She's a young adult survivor of thyroid cancer, and she is Vice President of Business Development and a columnist for Dear Thyroid. Cherry Wunderlich, adult, young adult survivor of thyroid cancer as well, director of publications and outreach for PSYCHA. Gary Bloom, the executive director of PSYCHA, and they're going to tell us all about what that is. And kicking it off in our survivor spotlight, Lily Mulcahy. She is what else, Matthew, but a young adult survivor of thyroid cancer.
I'm getting a theme here.
You are, yes.
We're running consistency.
Funny how we do that.
Yes. Anyway, the Stupid Cancer Show is a production of Stupid Cancer. Online at stupidcancer.org, 24/7, 365. We have the largest support community for the young adult cancer movement. So welcome aboard another funville and exciting romp through the hay on tonight's Stupid Cancer Show, where remission is not a cure and survivorship is all that matters.
And a Stupid Cancer welcome to any and all of our first-time listeners here on the Blog Talk Radio Network and on iTunes as we broadcast all the way live from the Keybone Deck, our fabulous studio in New York City.
And don't forget about the live chat room. If you're tuning in right now, go to the stupidcancershow.org and join the live chat.
I'm going to do that right now, Matthew.
I think you should.
I'm going to join that live chat.
Our self-ingratiating applause, notwithstanding.
Yes.
Hello, Lisa. How are
you?
Hello,
Matthew.
Hello, Kenny Kane.
What is up?
That's a nice shirt. What's it say on it?
It actually says...
Stupid cancer.
Excuse me, does your shirt say stupid dancer?
Someone said that, didn't they?
Yeah, I get it all the time.
Really? Stupid dancer?
It says tiny dancer.
Hold me closer. No, never mind.
Oh, boy.
That was horrible.
That was.
We're going to go off the air now.
We've
just lost all of our non-sponsors.
All right.
We have a full house.
We do.
We like having audience people.
But what's exciting is we have a full house, and they actually aren't our scheduled guests.
Right.
They're like added bonuses.
They're groupies.
Yeah. We like to think that they're groupies.
In my mind, you're all groupies.
Right.
In my mind, yes.
Yeah.
All right, well, we are joined by our brand new intern for the fall semester.
This is exciting.
Kenny, you may introduce because she is under your watch.
Uh-oh.
We welcome Tame and Kim. Welcome
Tame
to the
and
show.
Kim. Come on, Kenny, like this. We welcome Tame and Kim.
I'm jet-lagged. Welcome to the
Yeah, but we have
to
tell Taman's story because she's come a long way. Or Taman can
she's
tell
She's from
Taman's
Brooklyn.
Story. Yeah.
Where are you from, Taman?
I'm from South Korea, and I was working as a radiation oncologist in Korea, but I feel like I want to help cancer patients outside of the hospital. So I came to New York and find a nonprofit. So Stupid Cancer was one of the best that I found.
So this is amazing. We have a radiation oncologist here from South Korea. So how did you end up in New York?
Sort of a downgrade to our internship.
Yeah.
Because in Korea, nonprofit is not a famous job, and it's not very, like...
Not so much here, either.
Yeah. Really?
Well, yeah. We like to think it is.
Kick to the curb.
Oh, it's the wrong place?
Yeah. Sorry. Like I said, she'll be quitting in 10 minutes.
No, I'm glad that we came across as the best, when in actuality we're the worst.
Okay, well, I wouldn't say that.
Kenny needs
We're all
a,
bottom feeders.
Yes, exactly.
So that's amazing. So you came here. So in the nonprofit, in all seriousness, the nonprofit world is not really a great scene in South Korea, is what you're saying.
Yeah, so I need leaning,
pull the mic up to you so we can hear you loud and clear. Lean in. So did you have, was it some sort of program, or did you strike out on your own, or how did you actually get physically, I mean, I know there's planes, trains, and automobiles, you probably took a plane, but I mean, how did you actually come about that you worked this out to come here?
There is a government scholarship program, so like Korean university students can come to USA and have an internship, so I had an interview in Korea, so I got a scholarship, so I can come here.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
So we have like the smartest person in the house is our intern.
A radiation oncologist from South Korea.
Yeah.
Amazing. Well, we're also joined by Max Philp. Hello, Max.
Hello.
Hi, Max.
So what brings you here?
But he also sounds really smart.
No,
based
you
on what I heard him say.
One of those guys that you
office.
Just know you're dumb around.
I know.
Yes. What brings you here? What bet did you lose that brought you here?
I didn't really lose any bet. I was.
Pull that mic in also, nice and close.
All right.
Eat it, as we say.
I've been looking for an internship this semester, and, I'm really into health, and as a type 1 diabetic, I've been affected by a disease that I had no control over receiving. Also, I had an aunt that I'm very close to that was diagnosed with breast cancer, and she's been a survivor for about 5 or 6 years now.
Wow.
So I've also done a lot of nonprofit work. I'm from the San Francisco Bay Area, and... I'm a sophomore at New York University, and so we'll just see how this goes.
Cool.
We are a breeding ground for interns.
We are.
It would appear.
From South Korea to San Francisco.
And now from Jersey. We're going downhill.
Jersey in the house.
Karen Rain and Mark Jason came to the organization for a visit today. Ken, you want to tell the story?
Sure. So Mark Jason has a wonderful photography initiative that he's taking part in.
He's spearheading. He's a man
spearheading
behind
giving
the
a
lens.
Free press.
Photography project. What's a good website? Is it markjasonphotography.com? There you go. Markjasonphotography.com. Check it out.
And Karen is a recent young adult breast cancer survivor, type 1. Early detection, success story. Phenomenal, amazing, inspiring woman here tonight to join in the fun and mock us from the couch.
And took part in a video for Komen, is that right? And a video that you guys did for Race for the Cure? Yes. That aired on CBS.
And she is probably one of the most well-spoken and intelligent people. We are being outshadowed here today by 4 brilliant people, and we're just like slugs on a rock.
As usual, we dumb down the room when our guests are here.
Well, anyway, just to quickly catch up, this week... Kenny, you went down to Atlanta.
I did. I had the pleasure of going down to Noonan, Georgia, which is Hospital 5 out of 6 for Cancer Treatment Centers of America. Very happy to represent Stupid Cancer there at the kickoff, which was phenomenal. It was very inspiring. It was just incredible. So
awesome.
And we'll be going to visit the team
this
Friday.
We'll see them at the end of this week over in Chicago, which I guess is the headquarters, right? Would make sense.
Yeah, Schaumburg, Illinois is their headquarters. Cancer Treatment Centers of America.
Mazel tov.
Yes, Gesundheit to me.
Hamburg.
I was in Boston since the show last week. I attended the Clinical Business Expo, which was a C-suite level conference of high-ranking CEOs, CFOs, CIOs, COOs in the clinical trials business. And apparently, I only found out afterwards, I was the only patient who spoke the entire 3 days, and I was the only human being who spoke that got an applause. So,
besides the one that you gave yourself.
Besides the one I gave myself. Right, because my PowerPoint ends with applause.
It does.
In audio.
The way our show opens with our own applause.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like a laugh track.
We bring our own applause with us wherever we go.
Yes.
Because God knows we don't expect the rest of the room to.
And this concludes our broadcasting.
So, and why are we so jet-lagged?
We were so jet-lagged because we were in San Diego for the 4th annual State Classy Awards, where we were regional finalists for health and well-being. And we lost to an amazing charity. I mean, we won last year for most innovative use of social media.
Yes.
And yes, it would have been nice to win. And yes, cliche, it's nice to be nominated. But the charity that won, I forget the name, they are, I was really quite extraordinarily pleased with what they do. They take recycled patio chairs and patio furniture and convert them into plastic wheelchairs for the crippled and the handicapped and the disfigured in African nations that have no health care.
Right.
That's pretty awesome.
The video showing these people who have formerly just crawling across streets to get from
A
to B. And
limbless, limbless warriors in African countries and children literally like butt crawling and hopping themselves across highways.
And now
they
have
step
mobility.
In, and now they have mobility. So just you're combining everything.
Yeah.
First of all, you're combining recycling, environmentalism, children, military wounded, African issues, and mobility.
You got to lose that to somebody.
We need some pets in there somewhere,
yeah,
and then you get the full Monty.
They're a good choice.
No, really good. So congratulations to them. And Kenny, I think I was most impressed by your new friend Zach.
Yes. So it was general admission for the ceremony, and I had the awesome pleasure of sitting next to Zach Walls, WAHLS. If you remember correctly, he was the gentleman from Iowa whose video went viral on YouTube of him giving, was it the
state's senate or something?
Yeah. He was talking about how being raised by two mothers had zero impact on his outcome, which is clearly that of presidential caliber.
Yes.
Based on the video. And
he wrote it. What was the name of the book? I Have Two Moms or My Two Moms or something like that.
Yeah, don't quote me on something like that.
But he's just a brilliant. He's 22, 23, and you could tell he's going to be president
one day. He's 21.
21?
He gave that speech when he was 19.
Yeah, you can tell he's going to be president one day.
It's called My Two Moms, Lessons of Strength, Love, and What Makes a Family.
Amazing guy. And he's also like 6'6".
Yeah, I was looking up to him.
Yeah.
Literally and figuratively.
Yeah, really amazing stuff.
So I'm going to jump in here and just, I want to thank these.
This big note, we want to talk about the Self article. Lisa gets uber kudos, and I will give you the big applause.
Well, I give the big applause to the women that took part in this piece. And I also give applause to Self Magazine because they emailed me saying, you know, every year in their October issue, they do what started as a breast cancer handbook. They've now broadened it to do a women's cancer handbook for all cancers. And they approached me asking if I would write a piece about the young adult movement and why the survival rates of young adults lag behind those in other age groups. So I was thrilled that they hit us right in our sweet spot, wanted a piece on this topic. I wrote a piece for them. And they wanted a lot of survivor stories. And the survivor stories, the folks that I interviewed for the piece, a lot of them were actually woven through the original piece, but they were such compelling stories that the editors just really took to the women who participated that they pulled them out and did individual sidebars on each of them, had the women each take photographs of themselves.
Yes.
Our chairman of our board, Lenny Sender, has quoted him in the piece, along with Archie Blyer, kind of the godfather of the young adult movement.
Indeed.
And anyway, so those who took part, Allison Irwin, Emily Morrison, Alexandra Teachworth, Alyssa Thorner, LaGaia King, Christina Medina, Jill Harrison, Gemma Cabral, Jennifer Robbins, Lori Hintzberger, and Juliana Carvat. The unbelievable candor, I mean, we hear it every week on our show.
Yes.
But once again, the unbelievable candor, strength, fortitude, humor, everything that just poured out of these women. And, you know, I already knew a lot of these women, knew their stories. And once again, I'm just blown away speaking with them. And, again, the editors itself, I turned the piece in. They read these stories and said, we got to blow these stories out and flesh this out. So it's in the current October issue that's on the newsstands now, and it's also online. We can throw up the link in the chat room if you guys haven't seen it, because, again, I just applaud, and I'm really grateful to everybody who took part. I'm grateful to have the opportunity to get the word out about young adult cancer and all that. You know, they all have stories about misdiagnoses.
Yep.
2 and 3 times, and, you know, some just told, it's nothing, take Xanax.
Come back later.
Yeah.
You're fine.
Take Xanax. You have eczema. You don't have Hodgkin's. You have itchy skin. Here, take this for, all kinds of crazy, unfortunate stuff. But all these women are powerful and doing well, so check it out, because you should really, it's their stories that get all the applause.
Excellent. All right, and with that, let us bring out our Survivor Spotlight. Okay, Lillian O'Kahey is a 5-year metastatic papillary thyca survivor, recent grad, a long-term grad of Wheaton College, shares an auspicious birthday with me, May 29th. Fellow Gemini, she has been working with Stupid Cancer for probably 4 or 5 years now. She has a thesis on stupid cancer in anthropology, which is amazing. And she is a wine connoisseur. She loves health policy, financing. She's one of the smartest people I know. And again, she's just has my birthday, and that's all that matters, right? Please welcome back, I think for the third time, to the Stupid Cancer Show, returning champion Lily Mulcahy. Hello, Lily.
Hi.
Welcome back.
What's going on?
How you doing?
Thanks for having me.
Oh, we love you. We love to have
you
back on the show.
Thanks. It's really fun.
So let's get right to it. Let's talk us, your thyroid story is sort of breaks the mold of the stigma of what people think is the good cancer. And, I'd love you to just talk about that journey, because you were very young when this happened.
Yeah, I was 18. I got to college. I kind of was embarking on this path that I thought would just be this normal college thing. I get there, I need to find a major, make some new friends. And like by Thanksgiving break, I was so sick, I couldn't get out of my bed. I had mono so badly just due to being completely weakened. I was diagnosed like over my Christmas break, and I had surgery in late January of that year. So I was 18, and I think there was part of me that this is the worst thing that's ever happened, and part of me that thought, it's no big deal, it's just going to, be over soon or something like that. And I went in, I had surgery, and the whole thing turned out to be a lot more advanced and a lot more metastasized than I expected it to be. So it was a long surgery, and when I had radioactive iodine to try to follow up on the surgery, that really, I'm just one of those people for whom that doesn't work. I think a lot of people have that experience. They don't tell you that radioactive iodine doesn't work for something like 25 or 30% of people who are given it. It doesn't affect my particular cancer at all. So I've just been kind of living with these tumors, and I feel that my health has been really good. But honestly, after the whole thing is shaken down, it's been almost like 7 years since I was diagnosed, I think that I'm healthiest when I worry the least about it. This is actually really funny. This is the story that I was thinking of when you invited me to come on the show, and I don't know if it's weird, but, it's been so, it feels like so many years. I guess it's not that many. It just, feels in the past now, but what's happening day to day is that concern that something bad is going to happen, when you think you're that person that something bad is going to happen to. So here's the story. I haven't been to see my doctor in almost 2 years.
That's a milestone into itself.
I know. Well, it's pretty good, but it's actually because I skipped, I just skipped out, I skipped school. Terrible at having cancer, I'm sorry. So, I went and I had, this is the reason I was thinking of this story, because I think a lot of people have this experience where you just get fed up with worrying about it. And something like thyroid cancer, when it moves all of a sudden. You just kind of get blindsided by it. That's how it happened to me in the first place. But now I'm just kind of waiting, watching, and I have been ever since my initial treatments were over. And, that's the way it is. You kind of wait, you watch, you monitor. Just like so many people who have checkups yearly or bi-yearly. I went in to have my annual CT scan, and when I was leaving after the CT, what I did is the thing that you should never do, which is turn around and look at the monitors.
Yeah.
You know, in the control room. Yeah, do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
I could
oh, yeah.
see right in there. Yeah. And then there was a student nurse that day, and the two nurses were looking at the screens, and they didn't notice me watching them, and I just stood there. I was transfixed. It just looked terrible. You know, this was 2 years ago. Looked awful. I was so afraid, and I was just beside myself. And a week later, I go to have my appointment with the doctor. I'm driving down there from Cape Cod. My car breaks down, right?
Because on the range of
port. I can't get my results. Yeah, on the way to the appointment, my car completely breaks down. It never drove again. So I call the receptionist, and she says that she can't give me the results, and the doctor wants to see me in person and stuff like that, so I'm getting more and more concerned, right? Finally, I get the letter in the mail that she insists on sending me. I open it up. It's like I think the heaven's about to open and like the lightning is going to strike me and stuff. I open it up. It's one sentence long. Your CT scan is stable from last year.
Oh, God. They couldn't just tell you that on the phone?
I know. Exactly. She couldn't just tell me that. He couldn't call me in person. I mean, come on. So that's when I was like, you know what? I'm not going to rush in there, you know? I'm going to take this, you know, I've been completely progression-free for like 5 years. I'm just going to take this as a sign that I'm all right for now. I'm just going to kind of get myself together.
Well, we were just talking with some of our guests on the show tonight, Lily, and we were talking, like, you know you're kind of out of the woods when you get really pissed at FedEx, and that when the small, stupid little things start to bother you every day, like a hangnail, like, why me, a hangnail, you know, then you're kind of out of the woods.
Yeah, well, you kind of, you know, you just get yourself worked up over nothing. It's like, I'm so lucky to be worked up over nothing.
So you can't even see it. Yeah, so you're over kind of worrying, which is a good thing, and sort of living in that fear. What about, how conscious are you of your daily life, you know, day-to-day in terms of what you eat or take care of yourself? Are you an everything in moderation person? Are there certain ways that you kind of amended your diet or exercise, or no? Kind of fill us in.
Well, I kind of am one of those everything in moderation people, but one thing that I've really done to change myself is when this all happened, I was living in Boston, but I was kind of transitioning to live on Cape Cod. When I was in Boston, I was just, it just wasn't for me. I'm not a city person, and I was getting really stressed, and I ended up with chronic hives. I know that's really personal and weird, but I was having a lot of problems.
It's the stupid cancer show.
Really
we've gotten a lot more personal and weirder than that. That's okay.
So, yeah, you know, I just felt that I was unhealthy for some reason, and I was going through these panics that, you know, there's something wrong with the cancer. My cancer's acting up or something, you know. Just those illogical concerns that you have when maybe you saw no progression with the cancer that you were diagnosed with for so long. You just start to think something else is going on with me, like that kind of a hypochondriac.
Oh, yeah.
And I decided to move out here. I live on Cape Cod now. I live in a really small town. There are like 1,500 people who live in this town. And there's tons of local food, you know, like you pick berries.
That's
all
good.
These local
I'm all for
fishermen.
That.
Mm-hmm. It's really cool. You can get your eggs here and all of your vegetables here. And I think that's one of the biggest things is eating foods that not only make you happy and eating together with friends and having a, when it comes to the things that you put into your body, which of course are so important, the things that you eat, the things that you drink, I think that as long as you've eliminated the stress of dealing, food is supposed to be good for you. It's supposed to be fun and healthy, right?
Absolutely.
I wouldn't want to stress
good
myself out.
Good for you, fun and healthy.
Like
those are all good things.
Cupcakes meet all of those requirements.
I was going to say, and it doesn't have to be a Big Mac.
Exactly. Yeah. If I liked Big Macs, I would probably give myself one now and then. It's
so, Lily,
we've
talked about this a lot. What would you consider the biggest stigmas you've faced as a college student in general, let alone a college student facing a cancer which may be imperceptibly misunderstood by the general public more than others?
You know, I wouldn't say the general public. I would, because, you know, when you're at that age, you're kind of used to being like a kid, and that's how most people who are older than you, maybe family members or something, would treat me, you know, like you're a little kid and they feel really bad for you, but don't worry about it, it's going to be over, it's okay, you know. But I think that the biggest problem was from my peers, and you would think that your friends would be nice to you for getting cancer, and a lot of my friends were great, But some of my, because I had just gotten to college, like, you know, when you're a teenager and a young adult, you have a lot of upheaval in your life, and you might not be settled someplace. And I think a lot of people go through that. I said, the first friend that I decided to tell at college, the very first one, I sat him down. I said, look, you know, I went to the doctor today, and he said that he has to do a biopsy, but he's pretty sure that this is thyroid cancer and not some kind of benign tumor or something. He got very huffy. He wouldn't look at me. He wouldn't talk to me. So I'm like, hey, come on. What's up? It's going to be okay. And he says, oh, my God, sorry. I've never had a friend who had cancer before, okay? He's so furious
wow.
at me.
Wow, okay.
Awkward. Yeah, I know. I think it's really funny. I know, so awkward. But it's like, the issue when you're so young like that is that your friends are young, too. You know? They're kids, too. And it's just because you don't get to be a kid anymore doesn't mean that they have to stop, you know?
Did you have any, did you see any kind of therapist or seek out any kind of therapy at all when you were going through treatments or post-treatment?
Not really. Afterward, I sort of did. But I always had a hard time with that. But I actually did find a really good therapist about a year ago, and she helped me with something, what is this thing called that she does? It's where you think a thought and you look at a flashing light side to side.
Oh, yeah.
As you think through the thought. What's that called? ECM?
I know what you're talking about. Say it again?
ECM.
Doesn't ring a bell, but I know it, but that doesn't
mean
anything.
You know what I mean? You process the thought. You think about a traumatic event and, you know, like you say, I don't know, that something happened or you felt bad about the way that you acted or you, I don't
Did
know,
that
felt
work
guilty
for you?
About something. It actually worked really well. It helped
really?
Me through a couple of things. Yeah, no, it was really great because at the end of it, I felt really great and I felt like I came to a good conclusion that would stick with me, you know? So that's the only thing I ever found that helped. But, you know, that didn't happen for years after this, you know? I definitely didn't have any, I sought a therapist, but I didn't have any success finding a therapist that could really help me for a long time.
Although you said that treatment specifically did help.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
And where did the absinthe come in all of this?
Where did the what?
Absinthe.
The absinthe? Where did that come in? The whole thing just drove me to drink.
Yes, exactly. Well, we met when you were probably, what, like in 06, like when you were a year out, or 07, I forget.
No, I think I met you when I was less than a year out of this.
Right.
Because, you know, I'm not sure. Yeah, 06, 07 sounds about right, for sure.
So you've sort of been one of those interesting characters who have bared witness to the growth of the young adult world through us.
Yes.
Back when we were called I'm Too Young for This, and now we're Stupid Cancer, and groups like the Young Adult Alliance and the SAM Fund and First Descent. What's your perspective, because we're going to wrap in about a minute or two, what's your perspective as a young adult survivor being in the, from sort of both perspectives, as an advocate and as someone who kind of like joined the movement by accident of your diagnosis after 5.5 years? What do you say to others like yourself?
You know, to others like myself, I think the movement has changed a lot, actually. Has changed the way people see cancer a lot. I think that many more young adult survivors are much more visible, and that really makes it easier. You know, when I say that I had cancer when I was 18, people don't really panic anymore. They say, I read the most fascinating book about this woman who had cancer when she was 20 or something, or they don't think of it as a stigmatizing factor so much. And I think that that's great, and I think that this really has a lot to do with it. Because things that young people do are important in the media, in social networking, in society. And I think that as long as an individual, every individual who has to deal with something like this will keep fighting to say, I'm not a statistic, I'm not a number, I have an experience and it just belongs to me. I think that that both makes it more visible, brings it the weight that it deserves, but in a personal way.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Well, Lily, we're really
That's
happy that
I
you
think.
Came back on. This is your trifecta. right? Your
yeah, third
I think
time.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have a blog that we can promote? What, are you writing anything these days?
Not right now. I'm working on a few things, but I'm not publishing them right now, but I'll let you know when I do.
Oh, please do. And please do come visit us in New York one of these days.
Yeah, I'd love to see you.
And
take
I'm sorry
care.
I missed you in Boston last week, but take care of yourself.
Oh, yeah,
and thanks
I know.
Again.
Thank you.
Okay. Lily Mulcahy, everybody.
Thanks, Lily.
Bye. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Kent Brockman, and this is Eye on Cancer.
Just the facts, ma'am.
All right, here at Stupid Cancer, we promote and host hundreds of U.S. events each year and don't want you missing out on them. We're talking about financial webinars, fertility conferences, kayaking retreats, meetups, tweetups, road trips, concerts, and more. Hey, Kenny, where can people find out about all these awesome events?
All right, everybody, head over to events.stupidcancer.com. I'm doing this from memory. Matthew, I don't have the paperwork.
Head on over to events.stupidcancer.com, your one-stop shop calendar for all our social and educational events nationwide. Something could be happening in your neck of the woods, and we don't want you missing out. What's going on, Kenny?
All right, this is the part that I could do without being jet-lagged. Thursday night, we're having a Stupid Cancer Happy Hour in North Jersey, as well as a Stupid Cancer Happy Hour in Chicago, where Matthew, Allie Ward, myself, Johnny Immerman, and many more will be in attendance. You should definitely come out for that if you're in the Chicago area. Saturday night, we have a Florida happy hour in the Gainesville area. And finally, Friday, October 5th, we have one in the Phoenix area.
Is that it?
That's it.
Okay, well, that's plenty.
What do you want me? I'll create some more.
Just make some up right now. Okay.
It's official. It's official. Who's telling everybody it's official?
Apparently you.
Okay. Well, we can read it together.
The plane.
We can read it and we can harmonize. It's official. Mark your calendars for OMG 2013, the 6th annual OMG Cancer Summit, April 25th through 28th, 2013 at the Palms Casino in Las Vegas. That's April 25th through April 28th, 4 days of awesome at one of the largest gatherings of its kind in the world. Visit omg2013.org today and learn more about the OMG Players Club, an exciting way to earn travel reimbursement by fundraising omg2013.org.
All right, the Stupid Cancer Store, which I give Kenny complete ownership on, and I'm so proud of him, has over 14 awesome products for sale right now.
Wait. Does that mean we have 15 products?
Why?
Because you said we have over 14 products.
Yeah.
So we have 15 products.
We have 15
so
products.
So the next 15 people who go to the store will sell us out.
Yes, exactly.
No.
We have only 15 products left for sale.
15 different products, right?
All right. Wear Stupid Cancer, be proud. StupidCancerStore.org.
Pens, pins, stickers, lanyards. Tell the good folks what they can get. The Stupid Cancer Forums, moving right along, have over 2,500 members. This is your premier online community to connect with survivors, patients, parents, and caregivers just like you. Visit StupidCancerForums.com. Sign up with one click through Facebook.
And that
and
is your
Stupid Cancer News.
I'm tired. I shouldn't say that before introducing the three primary guests of the show. All right, Lisa, you're up.
Joanna Isbell is a 4-year survivor of thyroid cancer. After 2 surgeries and 3 treatment doses of radioactive iodine, Joanna is still learning how to live side by side with cancer, aren't we all? She has a passion for learning how to use her cancer to help others and has been involved with Dear Thyroid since 2010, and she'll tell us all about that.
All right. Sherry Wunderlich is a 13-year thyroid cancer survivor for THYCA, the Thyroid Cancer Survivors Association. She directs publications and outreach and coordinates early detection messages for Worldwide Thyroid Cancer Awareness Month. She also co-directs the 15th International Thyroid Cancer Survivors Conference. And Gary Bloom, the executive director, the big macha at THYCA, the Thyroid Cancer Survivors Association, and a thyroid cancer survivor himself. He is an alumni. He is a long-term young adult survivor. He co-founded THYCA and served as its founding board chair for more than 8 years before being named executive director. He's also the co-editor with 2 physician specialists of the reference book, Thyroid Cancer, A Guide for Patients. Please welcome to the Stupid Cancer Show, Sherry Wunderlich, Gary Bloom, and Joanna Isbell.
The Thyroid Power Trio.
Power Trio. Good evening, folks.
Thanks so much for having me.
Good evening. Thank
Sherry?
You.
Hi.
Okay. Yeah.
We have to identify the 2 females when they speak. You can say who you are.
Right. I'm pretty sure we can tell Gary from the 2 of them.
Maybe.
My voice did change when I had my surgery.
Yeah. Well, let's just start with Gary right away, because Gary is the grand poobah of Thaika. I would love to just start briefly with your story. You felt so apologetic in your email that I was diagnosed with cancer as a young adult 20 years ago, whatever it was. You are a young adult survivor from the day you were diagnosed under 40, my friend. So, and I'll be 40 in 2 years, and I'm looking forward to being an alumni of my own organization.
Awesome. Wait, I wasn't apologizing. I was questioning. I'm so old now. Is it still permissible? I'm now past the next decade. I've hit 50. And I
look forward to being 50. I can't wait to be 50. It means I'll be alive.
I do get excited every morning that I wake up and march this world. I was diagnosed in 1995. Like Joanna, I went through a series of treatments. I had 3 different surgeries and 5 radioactive iodine treatments.
That was our year,
1995.
Sorry, Gary, go ahead. We're all 95.
No, that's fine. Well, the mighty 95. It must have been a great year to get cancer and make something wonderful of it, to reach out and help our fellow man. I'm happy to say I've been disease-free since August of 1998, and also extremely proud to have been part of Thaika from the very beginning and to continue to be part of leading Thaika forward with every great effort to bring our message to more and more people, to help more and more people.
So, Gary, why don't you...
And it's a pleasure to be with you all again.
Excellent. Why don't
Gary, this is Gary's 3-time returning champion now.
3-time as well.
3-time returning champion to the Stupid Cancer Show.
So for those who have not heard you before, tell the good folks out there...
They're fortunate.
What exactly is Thaika, the Thyroid Cancer Survivors Association? Describe that. Tell everybody about that, what you guys do.
Well, Thaika has a number of services. We provide support and education to people. We serve people in more than 96 countries at this point. Primarily, of course, English would be our first language. We are actively working on translations to bring better information to people throughout the world. We provide our services through 12 online support groups, as well as through Facebook, Twitter, and we have more than 90 face-to-face support groups around the U.S., and one in Canada, Costa Rica, and the Philippines. We provide free information both through our website as well as through the mail. We do bulk mailings through physicians to get information to people, hopefully at the time of diagnosis, to try to make this experience, this journey that we all walk, better, because we find ourselves in thyroid cancer being told, if you have to get cancer, this is the one to get. Part of Thaika's mission is to change that message and to help people actually deal with a cancer diagnosis instead of being in a position of sort of feeling demeaned by being told they have good cancer, but rather we feel we have to live with a cancer that is life-impacting, and I'm sure Joanna will speak to that as well.
Absolutely.
Additionally, Thaika provides webinars. In fact, we hosted a webinar this very afternoon. We provide a number of face-to-face seminars and workshops throughout the year. And, of course, our big event is coming up next month, October 19th through 21st, in the Chicago, Illinois area, our International Thyroid Cancer Survivors Conference. It's not too late for people to come join us. We'll have probably 35 medical specialists joining us, and about 400 to 500 people will join us as well.
Awesome.
So that'll be enough of me talking about Thaika. I'll step aside and let you talk to everyone else.
Well, let's have Joanna, as you mentioned, jump in here, VP of Business Development and Strategy, and she also writes for Dear Thyroid. So tell us about Dear Thyroid and why Dear Thyroid, like Dear John, or, you know, is it because you, Dear Thyroid, I'm dumping you like Dear John? Tell us how that you came up with the name and what you guys do.
Yeah, it's exactly like a Dear John letter.
So Katie Schwartz actually is the founder of Dear Thyroid, and it is an online support forum for people with any kind of thyroid disease or thyroid cancer. And what's really unique about it and what drew me into it is that each person who comes to our site has the opportunity to directly address their disease, which sounds kind of weird to some people, but it allows us to kind of get that burden off of our shoulders and say what we really want to say. So the first time that I wrote a letter that was published on the site, I just talked directly to thyroid cancer and just kind of got those emotions off my chest. And that's what our main outreach is. It's just to provide other survivors and other people dealing with thyroid disease an outlet to speak directly to their disease and connect with each other and find support with each other. And I also I write a column called Life Redefined, and it's just about my experience with cancer, some of the issues that I faced just as a young adult, and, you know, going through school, dealing with social issues, different things like that.
And Sherry, let's get thanks, Joanna, for that. Let's have Sherry join in, who's works at Psyche along with Gary. Sherry, you're 13 years out. Are you still living with symptoms?
My main challenge. Thank you very much for having this program. As you know, it's Thyroid Cancer Awareness Month, so this is a terrific timing. The main issue with me, since I'm fortunate to have had lots of clear testing through neck ultrasounds and blood testing, has been my main form of testing.
Right.
But getting my dose adjusted of thyroid hormone replacement, because I, like Joanna and Gary, have no thyroid gland, that's an ongoing challenge for us, is getting our blood measurements and the corresponding dosage adjusted. So right now I'm due in for another blood test because my level wasn't right, my blood test didn't come out quite right. It was not indicative of cancer, but it was indicative that I needed an adjustment there, because our thyroid levels affect very much how we feel on a day-to-day basis.
Right. And were you starting to feel the effects of that?
I couldn't really tell. So I'm going to have a discussion with my doctor after we get another test result to see if that was a chance result or whether I really do need a dose adjustment.
I see. So tell us also, because you're co-directing something called the 15th International Thyroid Cancer Survivors Conference. When is that, and what's that all about?
Well, it's a huge annual conference with about 60 speakers and roundtable facilitators, about 100 sessions, and brings people from all around the United States. We already have people signed up from 31 states and other countries, and a combination of talks and Q&A sessions with very distinguished leading thyroid cancer specialists, plus other specialists on coping, and whether it's doctor-patient communications or stress management, coping with the fears that many of us have around our treatment and possible recurrence. So it's 3 days of learning and sharing and like a giant support group, as well as lots of education. It's a wonderful weekend. It'll be in Chicago this year, October 19th through 21st, as Gary said.
Right. Gary did touch on that. I'm sorry. We were we did with all kinds of specialists there, but the dates again are October. We can let people know. Tell us the
October 19th through 21st. There's lots of information on our website, www.thyca.org. THYCA, short for thyroid cancer.
Can you throw that up in the chat room?
Right, and if I could just chime in and pimp out a little bit, FICA is really one of the organizations I love working with so much. They have been an early adopter of identifying unique issues in the young adult world and creating specific tracks in their conference for young adults. And for the last either year or two or three, I forget, we've had a lot of our constituents there. We've helped promote their conference. And it takes a lot of risk to look at an underserved patient population within an underserved patient population and deliver them value and community. And you guys have done an excellent job doing that. And we're really proud to be partnering with you again on the conference next month as well.
Thanks so much. Colleen O'Neill from Stupid Cancer is going to be coming, and possibly another of your representatives. We really appreciate it, and there will be a Friday evening happy hour in connection with the conference, especially for young adults, as well as sessions. Most of the sessions are really relevant for all ages, but we have some specially targeted to young adults. So thanks so much for your partnering.
No, it's fantastic. I was hoping we can maybe just start with Gary, you know, because, Gary, you've been doing this for more than a decade now. What would you say would be the most significant advancement in thyroid cancer, either awareness or perhaps both awareness and or research and or survivorship in the past 10 years?
Excellent question. I would say the first thing that comes to mind when you ask that is not so much an awareness thing as that the standard of care has changed. And I know that's not answering your question directly, but out of that comes the importance of awareness, meaning that the doctors have really changed the way we're followed. And the awareness comes as a result of that because we meet so many people who are treated by physicians who are not aware of the change in care. And so that has triggered, I mean, that keeps Cherry busy on a daily basis, that we're constantly sending out messages how to work with your physicians to make them aware of the medical guidelines that the doctors have produced, to make sure that people know that. One of the ways we formerly were treated or tested used a small dose of radioactive iodine, and now the standard of care is that you're not using that. So we are working to try to get the message out. Don't get exposed to that extra dose of radiation if it's not necessary. So that has triggered a wonderful mechanism for outreach on our part. Awareness for us comes from really the internet is so important to us because it allows us to reach people, as I said, in more than 96 countries. So we're able to get our message out through the internet. But we're very, very committed to getting our message out through other channels. So we work very closely with a number of doctors to try to get them to share our information either through their back office or through their front office. We work with them to have meetings where we can pass out our information. And we're very proud of the fact that we have, at this point, far in excess of 350 active volunteers who are constantly requesting materials to spread the message. Awareness, always about awareness. We want to find people at the beginning of their journey. And if we can't find them then, we want them later, whenever we can, because this is not a journey we want people to take alone.
Well, which brings me to the question, dovetailing, and I want to get back to Joanne in a second about the impact of your thyroid, but in terms of, maybe this is for Cherry, this idea of, it's the good cancer to get. If you're going to have cancer, get this one. Has there been any change in that in the last couple of years? Have you guys been a part of any messaging strategies or working with any of the doctor groups out there to perhaps, you know, take that language out of the consciousness of the engagement with the doctors? Has there been any shift in the perception of thyroid cancer in the medical community where they say that perhaps a little less than they used to newly diagnosed people?
The short answer is yes, I'm glad to say, especially among the specialists. None of the specialists or our 34 medical advisors and the others that we work with would call thyroid cancer a good cancer because they know when it's found early, it usually is very highly treatable, but there's some thyroid cancers that are extremely aggressive and difficult to treat, and even when it's treatable, it's incredibly life-disrupting. It can be extremely expensive and very, very stressful. So there's no. So we're trying to get the message out to all doctors as well as the message of early detection when it really is treatable. Hope that helps. We have a brand new handout actually on our website. The headline, Thyroid Cancer is Not a Good Cancer, with some of these details.
Right, and it's part of our manifesto.
Excuse me, Matthew?
Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry, if you don't mind me chiming in.
Sure.
I just returned last night from the American Thyroid Association meeting, which was held in Quebec this past week. They represent thyroid cancer specialists from all over the U.S. and throughout the world. And they expressly, through their members, some of whom are advisors, or many of them are advisors, they actually use that statement as part of some of the different sessions they hold. Please don't refer to this as good cancer or the cancer to get. So we've worked very hard with members who are advisors to realize that they need to also be a frontline attack against that kind of thinking, so that when someone is diagnosed with cancer, they don't hear, oh, honey, if you have to get cancer, this is the one to get, which nobody should ever hear, of course. So the doctors are now passing that message along, too, and not just to us as patients, but to their peers. So that is a huge step forward in the fight to eradicate that horrible message.
Yeah, horrible indeed. Going back to Joanna and your thyroid, can you talk a little about the impact your thyroid has had? Like, how do you engage patients? What's the message? And the community that it has engendered, it's very passionate. You don't see this kind of passion in many of the disease markets. But I got to commend, like, we have a huge outcrop in the chat room tonight. There's a lot of chatter on Twitter and Facebook about tonight's show. You guys clearly are, you have like a cult following. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I know we definitely have some community members in the chat room tonight, which is awesome. So just to kind of piggyback off what Gary and Cherry were just talking about, the message that we have been receiving, that, you know, doctors and other people telling us that we have a good cancer, it really is frustrating. And Dear Thyroid is addressing that by trying to empower patients. That's a lot of what we do, is to tell our community members to not accept that, and to just teach them and encourage them to stand up against that and say, you know what, actually it's not a good cancer, and there's no such thing as a good cancer, and these are the things that I have to deal with. Because what people don't realize is that after the treatment's over, after the surgery's over, we still have to adjust to a new life, as all cancer survivors do. But without having a thyroid, our whole metabolism is changed. And so we just try to rally around our community and give them the best support that we can so that they can go back to their doctors. And you know what? Sometimes we tell them, if your doctor continues to tell you that you have the good cancer, you have the easy cancer, it's time to find a new doctor. I'm fortunate enough that none of my doctors have ever told me that I have the good cancer. And actually, I walked into my doctor's office and he had the treatment guidelines from Psyche already sitting on his desk. So I'm fortunate that I have one of those doctors who already has that mindset that I don't have a good cancer, that there's no such thing.
One of the things I actually love about your site, Joanna, on Dear Thyroid, is it gets pretty creative in terms of kind of arts advocacy and writing. I'm a writer myself, so I love this area that you have called Thylit, which if you were going to be kind of racy, you could, you know, would be T-H-I-G-H, but no, as a thyroid, it's Thylit. Can you talk about how you, I mean, you write yourself, you have a column and a separate blog, I see, as well. What kind of submissions do you get, and how do people sort of express themselves in your community through the arts?
The most common submissions that we get are the Dear Thyroid letters, but we also do different things. We'll have, you know, poetry week where we have people submit thyroid poetry, or we have one that we call Haikus, where we have people submit haikus that center around, you know, the thyroid theme haikus. Right. And then we also have a few community members that like to take popular songs and rewrite them, change the lyrics up to make them thyroid friendly. So we really get all different kinds of submissions, and we accept any kind of submission, really. Anything that you want to get off your chest about thyroid cancer, thyroid disease, if you're a family member of somebody who's going through thyroid cancer, we welcome your story as well. Because Katie is a writer, that's her career, and writing is one of my passions, and we just know how cathartic it is. And so we just want to give other people the opportunity for that healing that comes from writing.
Yes, fun with thyroid cancer. I love the creative twists on it, too, beyond your your dear thyroid letters, getting everything off your chest.
Well, that's the thing. Like, you guys are very innovative in the way you engage your stakeholders and the way you empower them and give them cool, kitschy, non-standard ways to engage the greater good and the greater movement. It's like I said, it's cultish, and it's in a good way, because I think that stupid cancer is a little cultish too. You kind of have to be a little weird to log onto a radio show on a Monday night when you'd rather probably be watching House is off the air. I'm really old. Whatever's on the air now. Whatever J.J. Abrams' Lost sequel is now should be on Fox tonight.
Well, sometimes we lose out to The Bachelor.
The Bachelor, yes. Exactly.
Actually, I'm watching it right now.
Okay. Kenny's on his Hulu account watching The Bachelor. But in all that truth, you guys really have a very engaged, an extremely engaged community. And, you know, if the stigma really is, oh, it's just thyroid cancer, I think you guys are doing a really great job at trying to and succeeding at building that larger message. It's my hope that, you know, people stop getting told that's the good cancer, because we see this happening in Hodgkin's. They're like, oh, it's a good thing it's Hodgkin's and not Hodgkin's. That's the good one to get. You know, I just really hope there's going to be some change in that. But we have a question from the chat room here. I have to find it, of course, because it's scrolling by so quickly. Maybe, Kenny, you can help me out and find the question.
Which one are you referring to?
There was a bunch of them. Just pick one, because it's scrolling by so quickly. Anyway, I'll just throw out what kind of response have you gotten from the conference, and how has that changed over the last couple of years? Obviously, the attendance is growing, the number of speakers is growing, but what impact has the conference really had?
Do you want to start, Cherry?
Go right ahead.
Okay. What impact has it had? It's the spreading of awareness. As you can imagine, a lot of people don't live in the areas of centers of excellence. And one of the great messages that comes out of the conference is, here are doctors who are considered experts in the field, and they are here to create a connection to our community, such that they will take phone calls from people who don't live near centers of excellence. They'll take the phone calls from those people's physicians to act as phone consultants, as the doctors, who don't see as much thyroid cancer are treating their one or two patients, so that the spread of knowledge is not just happening by virtue of doctors who go to meetings, but it's happening by virtue of us as patients creating greater awareness of who we see and how many patients some of our doctors see versus how few thyroid cancer patients some of the other doctors see. So it's created a greater community, both for the patients, but also for the patients as they interact with their physicians. I feel that it's very empowering for people, rather than hearing, oh, if you can't go to see someone at, I won't name one of the centers of excellence, the implication is that you're in a dire straits. No, your doctor has a phone. Make that connection. Maybe you do need to go for a second opinion, but that phone conversation between your physician and that expert can really help create a better treatment plan for that person. And we're very proud to bring that connection together.
Okay, we found
that's
one of
my favorite points.
Well, and then that's exactly what I was hoping to get from you, because that the idea of I was just talking to somebody today about this, like the idea of awareness for cancer can be very easily dismissed. Oh, I know cancer exists, but there's a subtle tactile issue in there where you can know it exists, but you really don't understand what you can do about it. And when you're facing something as challenging as an actual diagnosis yourself, how do you remember in that moment what it is that you're supposed to do or ask for or who you can connect to when you need that critical support? Anyway, I found the question from the chat room. Do you lose your hair during RAI?
Well, I'll step in and answer that since I've had treatment doses multiple times. No, you do not lose your hair. Some thyroid patients do talk about losing their hair, but it's because they're hypothyroid, and that's a symptom of being hypothyroid is your hair falling out. But it's not like a lot of the chemotherapies where you lose your hair is a side effect.
Well, that's
I lost my hair for age reasons.
You lost your hair for other reasons, Gary?
Aging reasons.
Aging reasons, right. Gary, tell us about the book.
And stress of children.
And so you were co-editor. Who are the physicians you wrote the book with, and can folks get a copy of the Thyroid Cancer Guide for Patients?
Absolutely. Well, we'll start with the most important question. Where can they get the book? Go right to the Cycle website and look for the tab reference book, or put in reference book into the search box, and it'll bring you right to the information about the book, including an order form. The book was the brainchild of doctors Douglas Van Nostrand, who's a nuclear medicine doctor, and Leonard Wartofsky, who is an endocrine doctor, endocrinologist. Both of them are from the Washington Hospital Center. However, the book is not the product of the Washington Hospital Center. They had 40 specialists contribute to the book, and I'm sorry, Cherry, can you pipe in with how many different institutions are represented in the book?
As you read through the contents, which are in the on the website, you see lots of centers of excellence, and there are excerpts from the book by some of the specialists, which include past presidents of the American Thyroid Association and other leaders in all the different multi-specialties involved in thyroid cancer care.
But it was very important to Wartofsky and Van Nostrand that the book truly be the work of doctors from around the country and actually outside of the U.S. So it's not as though this is one man or two people's input on thyroid cancer. It is truly a reference book. It's not a read cover to cover book, but of course I'm biased, so
yeah.
I will say it's a very helpful resource, and I'm very proud to be part of it.
Excellent. We have to wrap on the show, unfortunately. We could talk to you guys. You are a wealth of information, all three of you. But I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that Psyche's website actually has information translated into Chinese and Japanese for thyroid cancer. I don't think I've ever seen that before.
And the Chinese section is quite extensive, and the Japanese section is growing.
In Espanol as well. But how did you... That's fascinating. You click it, and there it all is in Chinese and Japanese. For our Chinese and Japanese friends, we have a radiation oncologist here from South Korea. So it's an international night, and spreading the good word across the globe. So anyway, we applaud all three of you, and thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you. Very helpful.
Thank you for making this forum available for everyone.
No, and this is our annual date. September of every year, you guys are always welcome to be on the Stupid Cancer Show in recognition of National Thyroid Cancer Awareness Month.
Wonderful.
International.
Worldwide.
Global, international, universal, every galaxy in the universe, thyroid cancer awareness experience.
All right, Joanna Isbell from Dear Thyroid and Cherry Wunderlich and Gary Bloom from FICA.
You
thanks
guys,
to all three.
Take care, you guys. Good luck with the
thank
conference.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you. Take care. Speak to you soon.
Okay. And that is tonight's show. We got a thumbs up from the crowd? Yeah?
All right.
Okay. We got a nod from the intern. She's like, yeah, you did all right. For my first night here, I'll allow you to think I like you. Anyway, all right, well, that is tonight's show, and now it is time for our closing sequence.
Prepare to activate.
I hear there's rumors on the internets.
Have you ever seen a grown man naked?
And so, to all of you, a fond farewell.
Hooray, I'm helping.
You are a meathead.
Oh, Magoo, you've done it again.
That was so terrible, I think you gave me cancer.
All right, everybody, that is tonight's show, number 238. We hope you had as much fun as we did poking a stick at Stupid Cancer.
I'd like to thank Kenny Kane, our intern, Tim and Kim on our inaugural Stupid Cancer Show broadcast, special in-studio guests Karen Rain, Mark Jason, and Max Silk, and our live guests tonight, Joanna Isbell, Shelley Wunderlich, Gary Bloom, and the lovely and talented Lily Mulcahy.
All right, where's my script, Matthew?
Next week's show.
Next week's show is, there it is, Stupid Breast Cancer. with a special focus on African American and Latina young women. Joining us will be Tarsha White Jones, registered nurse, teacher, PhD student, cancer researcher of young African American breast cancer patients. Pamela Cromwell, young adult survivor of breast cancer and founder of Pink for Pam. Our good friend Mylette Lopez, young adult breast cancer survivor and the founder of iHeadCancer.com. And in the spotlight, Barbara Musser, founder and CEO of Sexy After Cancer.
Okay, if you've missed any of our past shows, download them all for free anytime on iTunes at iTunes.StupidCancer.org or check out the archives anytime at StupidCancerShow.org. Remember, folks, if it ain't stupid, it ain't cancer. Live from the Chemo Deck, on behalf of Lisa Bernhard and myself, our whole team here at the Stupid Cancer Show, have a great week. We'll see you back here next Monday live at 7 p.m. our new time. 7 p.m. next week. Thanks, everybody. Good night.
Good night.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.